Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, Tammy Foote is the challenger in the race for the District 3 commission seat in Athens-Clarke County.
Affordable housing, it is something that is needed. But in our district, we have to stabilize what we have first.
We'll also hear the incumbents' platform.
From the moment you wake up through the chaos of your busy morning, Morning Edition is there with you. Through all you have to do, we'll bring you all you need to know every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. District 3 in Athens-Clarke County covers much of East Athens, stretching from Oak Street to Robert Hardeman Road. Tiffany Taylor has held the commission seat in District 3 since 2023. This year, she is up for re-election. Taylor sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss her platform and vision for the district. Here's their conversation.
First of all, would you tell me a little bit about yourself and why you've decided to run again for the seat of commissioner in District 3?
Yes. So first of all, thank you, Emma, for your invitation. I'm Commissioner Tiffany Taylor of District 3. Like I said, I was born and raised in Athens-Clarke County. Born and raised actually in East Athens, where I represent now. And the reason why I'm running again is because I've learned so much within these 4 years. And I just want to continue the work that I've started, getting the necessary funds for infrastructure, for housing, helping East Athens be on the same playing field as the rest of the districts in Clarke County. Being born and raised over there, you see how other communities or other neighborhoods are aesthetically pleasing or have more resources or opportunities. And then you kind of wonder, I know for myself, why don't we have those same things? And I'm also raising my 5 children in District 3 as well. So they're being raised in the same neighborhood that I am. And so I want them to have the same opportunities as the children that's around them. For the elderly community that has been in East Athens for a long time, just ensuring that they get to see the promises that was made during unification come to fruition within their lifetime. And so I'm running again to continue to make District 3 as great as possible on all levels.
When you ran in 2022, you made youth development and affordable housing key parts of your platform. Do you think you've seen success in these efforts, and why should constituents vote for you again or for the first time?
So with youth development, when I first came on the commission, we had a real gang problem in my community, and we were losing boys at a high rate to gun violence. And like I said, I'm raising 4 sons in East Athens. And so I have a nonprofit, Mothers of Black Sons, which is what I was doing before I became commissioner. And so because I think that when children are exposed to things that they don't necessarily get exposed to, that they have a better outlook on life. And I just don't think that our children are disposable. And before I came on the commission, that's what they were. They didn't have a sense of belonging. They didn't have anywhere to go to do anything. And so with the ARPA funds, you know, we got those community centers open in the public housing so that our children have somewhere to go. Just like when I was coming up, the rec center was always open in Nellie B. For a while, it had been closed. And so to have it up and running in the Boys and Girls Club, using that facility to get children in so that they're not in the streets, I'm really proud of that. not only on the youth development side, but also with housing. Because if you don't have a place to lay your head, you can't pay attention in school. You know, children will fall by the wayside because of the things that go on at home. And if we have housing opportunities for parents to be able to have housing that they can afford, whether that's in a house or in an apartment, that child's you know, being able to pay attention in school is better now because they're not having to worry about where they're going to lay their head or if it's going to be safe when we get home. And so housing and youth development, they go hand in hand. And I know that personally for myself as well. And so constituents, even if you're voting for me for the first time, my results speak for themselves. What I said that I was going to do in 2022, I've worked diligently in these last 4 years to be able to get those things into fruition or at least up and going.
To continue our discussion of affordable housing, if reelected, what would you prioritize or continue to prioritize in order to increase affordable housing in the community?
I think working with our local partners or our local housing partners are very important. Working with the Housing Authority, working with Land Trust, working with EADC, which is East Athens Development Corporation, and with developers with the low-income tax credit, the inclusionary zoning, having even private developers to have a buy-in on the inclusionary zoning, saying that we're going to build these housing, but because we are doing taking advantage of the inclusionary zoning, we're going to put X amount of affordable housing within this development. And it gives us more stock. I just came from the Geek Housing conference where it was maybe 70 counties, maybe 80 counties, all in Georgia, who comes together and talk about the housing opportunities on a state level, what they're doing in their communities. And Athens-Clarke County is an alumni. A lot of the things that Athens-Clarke County is doing, a lot of cities and counties in Georgia haven't even started on. So Athens-Clarke County, we are pushing the envelope. We are doing things to help with the housing crisis, with affordable housing, with the LIHTC developments like NODA and Columbia Brookside. I think that we have started some good projects. We have great momentum. I was really proud to say that I'm from Athens-Clarke County because a lot of counties were saying, I wish I had those resources, or I wish we were doing the same thing that Athens is doing. I think it's also important that we look at different housing types, not just single family detached homes, but how does townhouses fit? How do tiny houses fit for transitional housing? And so it's just about being open-minded on what fits for my area.
Finally, where can people learn more about you?
So people can learn more about me via my Facebook page. A lot of people follow me on my personal Facebook page, and that's Tiffany The Change. That's T-H-A-C-H-A-N-G-E, Tiffany The Change, as well as Tiffany S. Taylor for Commissioner of District 3 on Facebook, as well as Instagram.
Commissioner Taylor, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Emma, for the invitation.
Tiffany Taylor is the current commissioner of District 3 in Athens-Clarke County. The election is May 19th, and early voting will last from April 27th to May 15th.
I'm Tanya Mosley. There's so much news that it's hard to keep up, and many of those stories break in the middle of the day. Here and Now covers the news when you need it, so you're in the know.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Tammy Foote is a resident of District 3 in Athens and a longtime social services professional. She is running against Tiffany Taylor for the commission seat in District 3. She sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to discuss her priorities and how she hopes to serve constituents. Here's their conversation.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and why you've decided to run for the seat of commissioner in District 3?
I'm originally from Athens, born and raised here in Athens, Georgia, and I moved over to District 3 approximately 22 years ago. And when I moved over there, I moved during the redevelopment phase of the community. But as I stayed, there was no redevelopment going on. So I would go to some of the meetings, got involved with some of the things that were going on in the community. And after seeing that the community was being overlooked, underserved, marginalized, and left out of all the conversations when it came to the redevelopment of the area, District 3 was not a part of the conversation. So I just decided to be the voice for my community. As the commissioner for District 3, I will be accountable for my people. I will be the voice of reason for them. I will communicate with them, and I would definitely advocate for them.
You've mentioned redevelopment, but what do you think are some of the, and being left out of the conversation, what do you think are some of the greatest issues facing District 3?
One of the major issues is infrastructure. We have some major infrastructure issues going on with our water system. Some of the neighborhoods in District 3, they have severe water problems, such as Hallmark. Hallmark is dealing with an issue where there is a large sewer pond behind the neighborhood. And the kids are playing over they have a fence, and the kids are playing over the fence in the sewer pond. So they need infrastructure. And then some of the areas are not even connected to the sewer. They're still on septic and well water. So that's one of the major major issues that's facing District 3.
And what would be your approach to getting those communities connected to the water system?
Yes. In the charter, when the county and city unified, it was promised that everyone would be on sewer water. That hasn't happened. So no one has really advocated for that to happen. So being a voice for District 3, I feel like once that advocacy starts, we can see some movement for that for our residents.
And what are some other major parts of your platform?
Housing stability in the community. A lot of candidates and people talk about affordable housing. Affordable housing, it is something that is needed. But in our district, we have to stabilize what we have first, because it's almost as if you're going to build affordable housing on a rocky foundation. Because when you talk about affordable housing, housing now starts at $350,000 to $450,000. That's not conducive for District 3, in some parts of District 3. So we need to stabilize what we have first. Then we can go to affordable, find out what the income, margin is, and then we can go from there as far as affordable housing. But we need to stabilize what we have first.
And by stabilizing, do you mean repairing what's already there, or hardening and making sure those houses are livable and up to good standard?
What I mean by stabilizing, we have people in the community that is being priced out due to gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
So first, we need to save the people that are already there and stop them from being pushed out. Well, so once we stabilize that, we can bring in affordable housing, in that income realm for that particular community.
What would you prioritize in order to make sure those people who have lived in your community for a long time can stay in that community?
Well, one of the things is to slow down the building in that area, because when you build and new houses come in, property taxes go up. And we have a lot of elderly in the community as well on fixed income. Some of them are widowed. And if you keep building and building and building, their property tax is going to go up, and it's going to push them out. So that's a part of the stabilizing as well.
What can the local government do to contribute to the economic development of the county?
what they can do is, okay, so we are a food desert. So we need a viable grocery store. So if the county can assist District 3 in getting that grocery store, that will bring in jobs, and it will bring in a viable food supply for the district. So that's how they can help that situation.
And where can people learn more about you?
They can go to my website at www.tammyfoot2026.com. Also, I have a Facebook page, Tammy Foot for Commissioner District 3.
Tammy Foot, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Tammy Foot is running for the District 3 Commission seat in Athens, Clark County. The election is May 19th, and early voting will last from April 27th to May 15th. Classical music may seem hard to access, as well as unpopular with younger audiences. Some might say this art form needs a transformation. That's exactly what a nationwide movement hopes to do, not with the music itself, but with where it is played. As WUGA's Emma Auer reports, the Athens chapter of Classical Revolution intends to revitalize classical music one Saturday performance at a time. Here's that story.
It's cool and dark inside the Athens coffee shop and music venue Hendershot's one spring afternoon. Bright lights illuminate a stage with a red velvet backdrop. Baristas continue grinding coffee beans as musicians take the stage armed with cellos, violins, a flute, and even a harpsichord. This is Classical Revolution Athens, the local chapter of a national network dedicated to bringing classical music to local hangouts. Today, coffee-sipping attendees heard a variety of music, from classical guitar, to a Puccini opera, to the raucous Shostakovich Quartet No. 8. Classical Revolution Athens co-host Alexandra Dunbar, who plays the harpsichord, says she took over organizing the monthly events to build community.
When I started doing this, I didn't have a whole lot of people that I knew. I've met through this, I've met contacts through all different sorts of musical community groups.
And the community formed ranges from kids to professional musicians to University of Georgia music students. The Shostakovich Quartet was performed by a group of UGA students. They say that beyond building community, Classical Revolution offers a solution to one of the greatest problems facing classical music. Here's Andrea Barca, a fourth-year violin performance major.
Classical music, there's this whole problem that's going on in symphonies right now where there's just low attendance, you know. Classical music, at the end of the day, should be valued. And I think it makes it so much more accessible when we're doing it in a venue like this or in such an outlet where it's not formal. You don't have to dress a certain way.
The performers also wanted to showcase the powerful stories that classical music can tell. Barca says she picked the Shostakovich Quartet No. 8 to teach people about the political significance of the piece, which was written under the violent regime of Joseph Stalin in the USSR.
I just thought it was very fitting, and it was, I thought, important to remind people of the dangers of fascism and what happens when one person has total and unlimited control of, you know, a population.
Thank you. Shostakovich piece was a favorite of one audience member.
It has so much emotion, so much angst, so much pain and frustration, and it's claustrophobic, but then it's also chaotic.
Ellen Perry is an Athens resident and filmmaker whose work has taken her across the world. She scores her films exclusively with classical music and came to the event because she wanted to tap into the city's classical music scene. Maggie Snyder was another attendee whose work revolves around classical music. She's a professor of viola at the University of Georgia's Hugh Hodgson School of Music. She says classical music is valuable because it allows musicians to express themselves in a unique way.
When you find the sounds that you love, it is like finding your own voice, and you're able to communicate in a telepathic way to others who are listening to you, telling stories, making pictures.
But she also adds that playing classical music creates beneficial cognitive changes for all performers, even those who don't want to be professional musicians. Snyder adds that classical revolution gives the community, including amateur musicians, an outlet to perform. Classical Revolution Athens co-host Alexandra Dunbar says she tries to include anyone who signs up through a form on their Facebook page, and that performances are not limited to the traditional classical genre.
There was a sweet singer who came in and she did like Schubert, and then she did a Billie Eilish song. We still really welcome like anything that's a new composition. If there's some element of classical music, maybe on a classical music instrument.
As the show ends in Hendershots, the musicians pack up their instruments and head out into the hot spring afternoon. Even if most of the music pieces showcased here are hundreds of years old, the performers of Classical Revolution Athens keep them alive, telling new stories each month. For WUGA, I'm Emma Auer.
Been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org. And will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.